tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Ridiculous goal square that jutted out. It was like a dance floor or the Katy Perry stage at the Rod Laver Arena this week. They have to just throw all that crap in the bin, Jay. If I see that goal square in AFL, that's an embarrassment. Hello and welcome to the Round 20 Super Footy Podcast. An astonishing round, really, and the Herald Sun front page on Sunday said it all. Footy fights back. Five rippers, four stinkers to talk about it. J.Z. Clark and Lauren Wood. How are you guys?
Absolutely fantastic. Couldn't have been two more different days, could they, boys? It was, as you said, an absolute belter yesterday. Unfortunately, St Kilda Dogs, same couldn't be said for that on Saturday night. But, Sunday didn't quite live up to it.
Mick, I want to talk later, too, about Collingwood's injury crisis. I'm sick of these hamstring issues. Darcy Moore, Jamie Elliott. The club has got to do a full-blown investigation of what's going on there because it's killing them, Mick.
That's not great, but let's get into the big story, extraordinary story, just when you thought we're going to be talking about the Gold Coast Suns off the top. Andrew Gaff has a brain fade. Punches Angus Brayshaw, not Angus Brayshaw, Andrew. His brother, Andrew, in the face. I think he's lost his teeth and his Brownlow's gone and maybe his finals campaign.
Yeah, I think Tom Mitchell will be writing his speech as we speak, lads. It's a pretty ugly one. You'd have to think he's going to be keeping Tuesday night free now, Andrew Gaff, whether that's to fly over here and face the tribunal or appear via video link, because you'd have to think intentional conduct, high impact being that it was to the jaw area, and severe impact.
High contact,
given that it was to the head and severe impact. So that is automatically straight to the tribunal, you'd think, with Chriso on Monday.
So how many?
Well, this is the thing. So it automatically becomes 3+ by heading to the tribunal. Then it's up to them. They're not bound by that table that Chriso is. I would think 5 to 6. As I say, the off-the-ball factor probably adds another week. Brayshaw looks like, from all reports, he's left with, as you said, maybe a missing tooth or two and potentially a broken jaw. So we know the outcome affects it as well.
Well, I reckon he was trying to jump a punch and the guy went low and he was unlucky. I don't see it in the Tom Bug category of thuggery, but he was front on and he did punch him in the face. But I think the intent was to jump a punch.
I think 4 was probably fair, but Gaffey's got to throw himself at the mercy of the tribunal
absolutely.
Here. Say absolutely sorry. And the most interesting part of this was me was the interaction on the bench between Gaff and the senior coach, Adam Simpson, afterwards. Yeah. Because to me, Gaff was all at sea, shaking his head in hands, and then Simo was trying to console him, I think, trying to pick him up. So I know Gaffey is a bit of a stress head. Like, this will really play on his mind. So I think 3 weeks, that's the remainder of the home and away season, plus one final. I think that's a fair suspension.
Yeah. It'll be, as you say, there is no such thing as the early guilty plea anymore under Chriso's table of offences system. But when you sit in these tribunal hearings, as I tend to do on a Tuesday evening, that I can tell you right now that the early guilty plea, as soon as you walk in, there's often a discussion that takes place between the AFL Council and the Club Council too. They can often come to a little bit of a deal. It can very much play to your favour.
Well, let's start with a few positives about those five extraordinary games, starting with the Richmond win by 3 points. Gazza missed the goal, and then it rolled in to Super Saturday and Saturday night, finishing with that incredible goal from McCartan off the deck. It's footy.
Were they great games or just close games, though? Just because they were close, that doesn't mean they were great games.
Well, any time I'm jumping up and down on the couch, it's great games.
Well, we were jumping up and down in the box on Friday night, weren't we, Jay, doing that Richmond-Geelong game. I'm sure there's a few journos around town that have maybe taken 10 years off their life this weekend with that that stress of firing on the siren.
But how many versions did you have written?
Oh, yeah, before? It wouldn't be the first time you've thrown a match report in the bin completely that's never seen the light of day, would it?
Mine was a stinker.
Oh, he was tapping very hard a minute ago. harder than usual. He's
Jay,
a very hard tapper.
For those people who don't sit in our office, he's the hardest typer. He smashes, goes through three keyboards a year.
The second Gazza missed that goal, I saw him. He deleted about 400 words and he was smashing that keyboard. His fist nearly went through the table. But no, I was going to say it's the best round we've ever had, but it's stats show it's the closest round we've ever had. Five decided by less than a goal, and it's a nice little irony given they were trialling rules at the time.
Mick, you are passionate about this, right? So at the same time, the trial rules, or the rules trials happening at VFL, should the AFL just scrap that? You find that farcical.
The image of the AFL game adjustments committee at Coburg with their little casual green jackets on will live with me forever when across the country, while they're sitting there with their ridiculous goal square that jutted out. It was like a dance floor or the Katy Perry stage at the Rod Laver Arena this week, right out through the crowd. While that's all going on, that rubbish, you've got these incredible games unfolding. They have to just throw all that crap in the bin, Jay. If I see that goal square in AFL, that's an embarrassment.
Well, I think
that they reckon it's coming in.
That's the only one, I think, of these rule adjustments, as they were called. And I don't think they're rule changes. But I think that's the only one that...
You know what? Those people will be better off spending their time and energy looking at the Gold Coast Suns and that absolute train wreck of a club that they've created, the AFL, by under-resourcing it from the start. So let's go to that. Yeah. Let's go to that.
Well, there was a bombshell yesterday, Sunday, I should say, when the CEO of that football club, Mark Evans, said that he would launch legal action against any player or player manager who says publicly that they don't want to go to the Gold Coast Suns. Now, as I see it, what possible legal action have they got to take? Like, a player can say that he doesn't want to go up there, doesn't he? Can't he?
Well, I don't know if they can. I mean, this is a really interesting, and the Gold Coast Suns are so pathetic that this is actually now becoming a conversation. Clearly, Mick Malthouse has raised it, that I'm a manager of this kid and he is not going there, or I'm a manager of a Richmond player who may have to leave it. I'm not sending him there. So this is where footy's always walked a fine line with the Supreme Court, because you can challenge the AFL rules in the Supreme Court and you'd win.
Being drafted,
being the salary cap, being restraint of trade, all these things. The AFL know this is a problem for them. In fact, when free agency came in, the AFLPA said, we will withdraw our right to challenge the salary cap in the Supreme Court for a period of time. So if this was to happen, Mark Evans, you're going to lose that in court, mate.
Mm.
So, but, you know, by all means, take it there. It'll be a great story. But to me, this is a symbol of where this club's fallen to.
And that's got to be absolutely rock bottom now. Do you know what I think they should do, Mick? The Suns should, and Lawrence, excuse me, they should throw themselves at the mercy of all the clubs in the AFL and say, we are at square one. The white flag's going up. We've tried for 8 years to get this right. Players have left. Our facilities have been horrific, and we touch on that in Monday's Herald Sun, Mick. Like, I think they're a VFL club, or a VFL standard club, who just desperately needs emergency assistance to try and, get it back to AFL standard. They were smashed by 96 points today, and I can totally understand if players either currently in the AFL or potential draftees don't want to go there.
But this is the interesting thing, isn't it? Because if you're an 17-year-old draftee, years gone by, you would do anything to get a game at an AFL club, and you would move anywhere. And now all of a sudden we are, by all reports, in this situation where players are being told by their managers not to go there.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Jay. I don't think there's any shame now in admitting that it just hasn't gone
worked
to plan.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people rag them for, you're propped up by the AFL and you're not allowed to fail.
They were,
all this.
Lauren. They spent $200 million up there.
But at what point, do we just let this keep going on like this, do we? Or do we, as Jay said, every club goes, every club's got two players that isn't getting a game. Maybe go there.
All right. Well, I like what Grant Thomas says in the Herald Sun as well today. That's fine. If you're going to have emergency concessions given to this club, which they got 8 years ago, they got all those draft picks, all the money, everything you could ask for, Ablett, and they've blown it. They've completely stuffed it up. So that's fine. If we're going to give you new concessions, I agree with Grant Thomas. All the people at the AFL who set the club up should hand in their resignation at the same time and take responsibility for the $200 million white elephant in our game. Of course, it won't happen.
Well, there hasn't been.
But
how much
who's actually
accountability
take...
has there been?
Well, where is the accountability?
McKenna.
Stuart Jew's apparently carrying the can now. Mm. It's not his fault. I mean, you read, listen to Rodney Eade, the gym you've written about today, infected with insects and rats. And,
the facilities were horrific.
Well, how can you do that?
And the gym was in a tin shed that was that hot you couldn't work out in it.
Look at the other team, the other expansion
club. Did they not realise it was Queensland? It's pretty hot there.
No air conditioning.
The other expansion club won by 105 points. So we're talking about 200-point difference. Both come to Melbourne. One was built as a footy club from the start, and the other one is just...
Okay,
embarrassing.
Well, what about this mix? So the Suns go, and Lauren, the Suns go, we want special assistance. What are Essendon, what are Collingwood, what are Hawthorn, what are the Western Bulldogs going to say? Okay, have all these extra draft picks. Like, do you think they're going to oppose it or not?
Eddie and Jeff?
Are. Yeah.
How do you reckon that'll go down with Eddie and Jeff in the President's meeting?
This is Essendon's premiership window as well. Do you think they want the Suns stealing
Who's going to
their...
take responsibility? That's the question, isn't it? Because they're going to get help. They have to get help. The other option is they hand in the licence to go down to Tasmania. Mm. People laughed at that. But
Frankston Dolphin style, 2 years off and, have another crack at it. Who knows?
You know that
The
won't.
Treatment
that's
of Tom Lynch as well, right? It was a disgrace. The way that they treated him. I mean, the guy's given 8 years of his life, of his football life, to this club in a subpar workplace, and they basically kicked him to the curb.
Didn't love the captaincy stripping.
It was a public stoning.
Him of the captaincy, wasn't there?
It was a public stoning. The Gold Coast knew, as we reported on July 1, that Tom Lynch had told them that he was likely to leave. They knew this was coming. So I don't see, the public stoning and stripping him of the captaincy and getting all filthy about it, younger players berating him in a meeting. Give me a spell. Like, Tom Lynch has probably done more for that football club than... most players on that list. So I think he's well within his rights after being let down by the Suns for 8 years to exercise his free agency rights. That's in the AFL rules, isn't it, Mick? The free agency, you can leave.
Hey, this is the same club that was having secret meetings with Gary Ablett when he was a Geelong player at the end of 2009. Now it's our guy, so it's not right.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah, it's just a train wreck, that joint.
We asked Melbourne coach Simon Goodwin on Radio Today on Triple M today, would you be happy to meet players in season? He said, we did that with Jake Lever last year.
It's probably happening right now.
Yeah, we can get it. Like, Nathan Buckley's been used as a scapegoat for the Gold Coast Footy Club. It's laughable. It's like, hey, Bucks is 0.000% of Gold Coast problems on Tom Lynch, I think.
Yeah.
Lauren, what about your team, St Kilda? It was the Saturday night bad game, and the Bulldogs are 5 goals down, and then, bang, the Saints have folded again.
Yeah, another situation to start to write the match report, and things didn't exactly go to plan. But no, that third quarter, they were absolutely hapless in that third quarter. It was absolutely pathetic, 8 goals to nothing. And I suppose we were just saying off air before that, good teams, when they have a dip, we saw Richmond, it happened to them on Friday night. Good teams have a little dip. You might get 2, maybe 3 goals scored against you. Unfortunately for the Saints now, when they have a dip, it's 8 goals, 10 goals piled on in that situation. Obviously, the Bulldogs, they've won, I think, 1 game out of the last 11 before Saturday night. So, things obviously weren't going to plan for them either. They've obviously had a massive confidence boost from that. But, of course, attention then on Sundays, it turned to Alan Richardson.
Yeah. Can he survive?
I think he will. Listening to Simon Lethlean, who spoke at length on 3AW on Sunday afternoon, I would say yes, he will. It sounds like they're going to take a little bit of a Richmond approach. We know that they cleared out a few of their assistant coaches during the week, Rowan Welsh, Lindsay Gilby.
Is that the right approach, Lauren? Do you agree with that?
Well, it worked at Collingwood and it worked at Richmond. So why not give it a go? Richmond.
You feel for those assistants in that situation, don't you? They're just chucked out, a couple of pars in the paper. And that's it. But
Have to coach out for the rest of the season. So, imagine being in that box on Saturday night. It's not going to be fun for anyone. But as I say, I think, they've backed Richardson today. They're adamant that he will be the coach. He's contracted for another 2 years after this one. So they have backed him in.
Probably can't afford
Simon it. Simon Lethlean as well. Sounds like he's really bought into what they're trying to achieve down there at Moorabbin now. So I just think it's at the point now where, as I said last week about Nathan Freeman, just give it a go now, because how much worse can it get?
Loz, can I ask you about Daniel Hannabury? Ralphie wrote this good piece during the week in the Herald Sun. Would you be willing to pay Daniel Hannabury $600,000 or $700,000, give up a top 30 draft pick for him?
Well, let's start this as Trade HQ.
Good idea.
Get it. Yep.
I definitely would. I think it's a player of his ilk. He's come from an incredibly successful club.
Is he cooked? Looks a bit cooked to me.
Yeah, but you can get that wrong, can't
well, who
you?
Else
if he's carrying a groin injury and he, you know, how old is he? 29?
You back your medical 29. Department, take the chance.
Back them, I would at the moment, because you look at it, they've been linked over the last few years. There was talk that Nat Fyfe was going to come to St Kilda. There was talk that Tom Lynch was in the mix to come to St Kilda. They were talking about Rory Sloane. They were talking about Andrew Gaff, who we talked about earlier. You know, the list has gone on, but I think for now, you know, and I've heard a lot of people say it over the last 24 hours, why would Andrew Gaff want to go there?
Well, if I was them, I'd throw $1.5 million at Dylan Shiel. You would just throw...
$1.5 million for Dylan Shiel?
I'd get a blank check.
I know
check.
It's been a long day, but...
I'd get a blank check, I'd go to Dylan Shiel, and I'd just say, Dylan, put your cricket score numbers in there, mate, and put on the red, white and black jumper.
I like your idea there.
Why wouldn't you? He'd be their best player easy. He's exactly what they need. Dylan Shiel says he's happy at GWS, of course.
Is he gettable, but... Shiel? Is he?
Well, he says no, so you got to take the player's word for it. He says he hasn't even thought about playing elsewhere, but if I was Simon Lefland, straight on a bus up there to Parramatta, big black check, one of those novelty-sized checks. whatever. Well, how much money do you want, Dylan?
Really,
10 years, 11 years?
I think Shiel should look at Richmond. Now, Stephen May, tell me what's going on with Stephen May.
Well, it's interesting because Stuart Dew said on Triple M today, or Sunday, that we want early commitments from our players. You know, we want a committed playing group. So
now they're putting another captain.
After what's happened, of course they do.
Yeah. But if you were Steve May, under AFL rules, you are allowed to make a decision after 8 years. So
he's got next year to make that decision.
Exactly. So if the Suns are going to put him under the pump, guys, then I think that could just push him away.
Maybe they're doing it as a strategy.
If I'm Collingwood's list manager, Ned Guy, we'll call him the hurdler now because he's jumping back fences. Ned will be listening. He's a big fan of this podcast. If they miss out on Tom Lynch, then you throw the kitchen sink at Steve May. And with all the stuff around Darcy Moore, we'll talk about him in a sec, he would be perfect at fullback, centre halfback for Collingwood.
I feel like they're pushing him out of their club, Gold Coast.
Steve May.
Yep, I reckon they're... why would you talk like that about your other captain when your other one's just been kicked to the curb?
Is the demanding an answer, and as you say, putting him under the pump, is that just to avoid them being put under the pump and having a situation
shifting
like
blame
we've had this year of every player that does a press conference, every time Stuart Dew does, what's going on with Tom, what's going on? It's like a find and replace in your computer.
Yeah.
Just shift it to what's going on
so
with
every
Steven.
Player's got a...
Are they doing it? Is it self-interest to demand an answer?
If you were Steve May, would you be feeling right now that you want to commit to the Gold Coast Footy Club for the next 5 years? Are you thinking, we're top four in 2022. Are you seeing any of that? Or are you thinking, jeepers, this joint's going down the bloody gurgler?
After having sat probably on level two of the MCG this afternoon.
You went to that
Stephen May didn't play, of course. He's suspended. So he would have had the bird's eye view of that match today. Unfortunately, a front row seat. Well, I like Broadbeach, but I don't know if I like it that much.
Yeah, where's that big contract? Let me sign that for you, mate. No chance.
Well, Trade HQ of a different kind. Sam Mitchell, the contentious ex-Hawthorn champion. Where is he headed to as an assistant?
Look, at the moment, the front runners seem to be Hawthorn and Carlton. You can't discount St Kilda either. I get why West Coast is furious about this. You would have read this in the Herald Sun earlier this week. Mick, they have threatened to keep him to his contract or say, we can work out of our Melbourne office, Sam, because we don't want you breaking a contract with 2 years remaining, all that intellectual property. So I get why they're filthy. He'll probably end up leaving and West Coast gets some sort of transfer fee, a payment, etc. But if I'm Sam Mitchell, I don't want to go back to Hawthorn. He knows the ins and outs of Hawthorn and Clarko style. He should go somewhere else.
Well, he won't be going to Melbourne or Essendon. I'll give you the big tip.
What happened
then? He's drugs... Yeah. Sledge at the weekend. Well, we know Essendon wouldn't take him anyway.
Yeah.
But no, Michael Hibberd was on AW. He's filthy.
What did he say?
Well, he just said that he didn't like it. He wouldn't buy his book. Of course, he wouldn't buy his book. But great book, by the way, Macca. But, it's because the jab, the reference that he made, the on-field sort of...
Barb.
Barb. No, it wasn't a barb. It was a gesture of the injecting yourself, was to Michael Hibberd, if you remember, all those years ago.
Yep.
So you can rule those clubs out, obviously. But anyway, enough of Sam Mitchell.
He's good mates with Brennan Bolton, so I reckon he's a big chance to end up at Navy Blues. I'd be surprised if there hasn't been some sort of informal agreement already reached.
Oh, okay.
Another secret meeting.
Oh, how bad?
Who would have thought?
Well, Carlton, just quietly. Now, Lauren, I want to talk to you about this AFLW fiasco. Sure. Susan Alberti, the great Susan Alberti's weighed in and said it's an insult. Daisy Pearce said it. Eliza Sewell broke this great story.
Excellent story.
About the AFL trying to basically condense AFLW into a 35-minute season.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it? Fantastic work by EJ breaking that story the other day. But so as we know, two teams are entering the AFLW next season, North Melbourne and Geelong. Naturally, boys, I'll put it to you, new teams come in, you would assume more games in the season?
Yep.
No, unfortunately not the case. It sounds like the AFL is considering cutting it back from what was an 8-game plus a grand final season to a 6-game season plus finals.
Six games. But hang on, the World Cup's 4 weeks.
You don't qualify for the years leading up and you know, put your life on hold or anything like that.
How does this make you feel?
Oh, it's an insult. And, you know, it's one thing for me to say that as a female who covers AFLW, but I think the avalanche of comment from players, that's what I'm listening to, and that's what I've found most overwhelming. They are incredibly offended by this. Not only would they not play every team once, but these are women who put their lives on hold. Some of them move interstate. They give up their jobs. Some of them work all day, drive to training, train for 3 hours, train a hell of a lot more than they're contracted to do, paid a pittance to do it, and they feel like their competition's not being taken seriously.
It's not being taken seriously.
It's a Mickey Mouse tournament. That's the message it sends to me. So, and it's in contrast with all the great effort that the girls are putting in. Clearly, why don't they run it just at the same time as the tennis? Well, why do they have to be separate?
Exactly. Why? And why
I don't get why.
Why can't it run during the winter? Like, what's?
Well, they do play VFL women's during winter time. A lot of them.
Yeah, but
you know,
you've now got a peak.
It's footy season, isn't it?
Like, you know, this was just brought in, rushed in because of the Essendon. Oh, we need a good, here's something in the draw that Sue Alberti's been asking for 30 years. Oh, hang on, we might do this because we're on the front page and back page every day because we've stuffed up the Essendon drug saga. So let's give it to them and now we'll just sort of take it away.
Has the AFL had a bad fortnight? Misreading the temperature of the room on the
On
the rule, in-season rules, and then now the women's. Like, it does really feel like they're sort of stuffed up a bit.
Hasn't been good, and as I say, there's been plenty, particularly on the AFLW one, letting them know about it well and truly.
Where does the story go now, Loss? So did you keep pushing this? Do you think you can change the AFL's view on this? Can you get them to recoil?
Look what's happened with the rule changes. I think that's the perfect example. First, you know, one day they're thinking about trialling it in season.
Humiliation is powerful.
The next minute when, you know, all we're going to be left with is a giant goal rectangle, goal oblong, I think we'll have to call it. So I don't think a change is out of the question. And that's, as I say, this isn't something that they're set on. This is one of the scenarios that they're throwing up at the moment.
One of those kites that they fly that's crashed.
But I think, as you said, they think they can't run it up against the tennis.
Maybe they need a committee, you know, get all their favourite journos in a room, have a little committee to decide. Okay, now, Chris Scott, after the game.
Got your finals accreditation?
I was a bit sort of taken aback by Chris Scott. Other people, like Lee Matthews, said nothing to see here. But I've got a sort of feeling that Chris Scott's spoken this way about Richmond for a couple of years now, or at least a year.
You were there, Jay.
He doubled down on the weekend. Yeah.
He's just saying they were not invincible. They're, you know, if it bleeds, they can kill it. I thought they should have won. You know, Ablett should have kicked that goal. Geelong should have won. And the message he's sending the players and the Geelong community is we can beat the Tigers. Everyone thinks just because they've won 19 games in a row at the MCG, they're unbeatable. He's saying that's not the case. The gap is closing.
I think there's a bit of no love there. And I wonder if it stems back to Richmond requesting home game, Geelong home game, if there's just a little bit of bad blood there.
A bit of
there.
Needle. I often take note with Chris Scott. I know you rated the coaches and their media performances a few weeks ago, Jay, but he is known to be talking to his players sometimes when he's talking to the media. We saw he made a few comments about Reece Stanley a few weeks ago and sort of where he was at in his form. We saw how Reece responded. So I wonder whether this was not talking to you sitting there in the room, but talking to the 22 players.
I think he was talking to Richmond too, just quietly.
Maybe a little bit for them.
Mickey, are you worried? Do you think the gap is closing on the Tigers in the competition? Are you worried that the handbrake might be starting to be pulled up on that season?
Not really, no. I mean, I think that they're in absolute
prime position.
Prime position.
Well, Ablett should have kicked that goal. Well, now, Dermot Thurlow
said... Now, what do you think about Dermot saying that Ablett's too old or didn't want to take the contact to kick that goal?
Bit harsh. I mean, we've seen him do that a lot, haven't we, Lauren? Where he just zips out to the right or goes to the left, gives himself some space to be able to execute the goal. It just slipped off the side of his boot. I don't think he was deliberately trying to avoid contact there. He's just trying to kick the ball in space. He's not going to run into a tackle, is he?
If I want to finish on the goal review farce, just another magnificent moment of the weekend where Jerker Jenkins, like he sort of, you can see on the replay, thought, I've just hit the post there, but such was the crowd and the 23-second review that it was called a goal. Now, the technology is clearly not up to it.
No, it's not, and it's not the same at every ground, as we know. You were up at the Rat last weekend.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how that compares.
They had a satellite
going.
I think we spend the money or we don't spend the money.
Correct.
We either go all out, we have a system that works and works beautifully. Whoever pays for it, I know the AFL, there's been talk that they want the broadcasters to pay for it, which I think is interesting given that it becomes a game integrity issue. So I don't know about that one. But
100%.
I heard you talking about it today, Jay. It looks like it'll be $4 million, I think.
Yeah, between $2 and $4 million. That's what it would cost.
For integrity?
For the bunker.
Hot, you know, top-of-the-range system that
they
would
need
work.
It because it's embarrassing. And
did
as Ken Hinckley says, this can cost me careers. It can cost finals. It's not just a sort of little passing. They'd still be filthy poor, and they will be all year.
He made a great point, didn't he? Because they obviously did the investigation after the game as well, and they put that release out that said everything had been ticked off. And yes, it was in fact a goal, despite what Josh said.
Because our cameras don't work.
They forgot
to put PS. That's because our cameras are useless.
Because as Ken Hinckley said, what are we going to do? Go back and play the last 3 minutes again?
No.
I think the system is introduced to eliminate the howlers. That wasn't a howler. I thought that was inconclusive.
Snicko would have called it.
Well, I'm sort of...
Lords.
But even the cricket technology isn't perfect.
No.
So we keep saying, let's get the technology.
That's different.
What do you mean? So maybe we should strip it back completely, go on the human call until the technology
I'm okay with the system as is, so long as it continues to catch the howlers. And I thought that one last night was inconclusive. I didn't think it was clearly hit the post.
The camera was positioned in Victoria, and they had to zoom it in.
Well, that's a problem.
If you're going to have that system, like you say, Lauren, have a proper one and pay for it AFL.
$4 million.
Anyone else got anything else to
You're a bit edgy about the Tigers. That's what I'm taking away from this.
Nervous.
You think they're going to get beaten. That's what's happened. Yeah. You're a bit grumpy.
He's been listening to Chris Scott.
Well, they've got... he's under my skin.
It's worked.
Unfortunately, Geelong won't get another chance to play Richmond.
No.
This year.
No, they won't, but another huge eight-shaping week next week. I cannot wait.
Who would have won today, Melbourne's VFL team or Gold Coast? Do you reckon Melbourne's VFL team would have beaten Gold Coast?
Are they a good team in the VFL?
Casey are good. I reckon they might have.
I think Gold Coast would have got up by a point.
Third to four.
All right, Lauren, thanks for that. Jay-Z, outstanding week. Let's hope it's just as good in round 21.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.